little bit of a different schedule here over the next 6 weeks. So 4 weeks, we're going to be covering lessons on stewardship on Sunday evenings. We started last week as we talked about the privilege that comes with stewardship and how God has equipped us. He has given us a task and has called us to be His stewards. He has cared for us as His stewards, and He has commanded us through it all to be faithful. And I do appreciate your faithfulness here tonight. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should judge of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for against one another. For who maketh thee differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, and as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. For I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For if we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." I want you to notice there in verses 1 and 2, once again, the Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you so very much that you have called us. You've cared for us. And God, you've commanded us here in this passage to be faithful as we serve you. And God, I pray tonight that you would just aid us in what you would have for us. Father, may your word speak as we look at passages. God, may you just take the gifts that you have given us, and may we take them and apply them to our lives. May we use them in such a way that would honor and glorify you. God, may everything we do and what we say and how we do it and the manner in which it's done and given, may it be done with you in mind, with your honor and your glory at the forefront of our hearts and at our minds. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And amen. Tonight, as we've talked about the privilege of stewardship, I want to talk about the price. Because with every privilege comes a price that must be paid. And in this price of stewardship, I want you to consider again this idea that we are to be faithful. And we're going to talk about, as every good Baptist sermon has 3 points, we have 3 points tonight. And I want to give you them very quickly, but I want you to turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want you to take note, because as we consider this stewardship and what it is that we are to steward and what we are stewarding, I should say, as we talked about the mysteries of God, we are stewarding the gospel, we're stewarding the fact that people need to be saved. And that is the message that we have been given. That is the message that we have been entrusted to. And that is the purpose of what we are doing. Now, in that, what is it going to cost for us to steward that? What is it going to cost us in this? In Ephesians chapter 5, The Bible says in verse number 1, he says, "Be ye followers," or "be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So here we're talking about following God. If we're going to be, if we're commanded to be faithful, what are we commanded to be faithful in? In following God and giving the gospel. He says in verse number 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor." So here he's talking about this consistent walk in what we are to walk in. He's done this and allowed us through Jesus Christ. We talked about the cross this morning, the offering that God has given. He says in verse number 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness," or covetousness, "let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Here he is again talking about the walk that we have. This is talking about our daily life. Our daily life is part of being a good steward. He says in verse number 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved," or "that are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Notice verse number 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, for the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, what about this stewardship? Well, we find here in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible is speaking about our daily walk with God. Our daily walk, how we walk, how we present ourselves and what we do, and again, how we say, and those types of things. But the one thing that being a steward of God is going to be more than anything else is it's going to cost your time. Your time. Your time. What we need is a schedule to help us be faithful. It helps us if we would pay attention and not talk during the service. That would be very, very helpful right now. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. It'd be very faithful in this that we would be the best stewards. We have to have the understanding that it's going to cost our time. We do what's important to us, don't we? I mean, just plain and simple, we do what is important to us. If work is important to you, you show up, right? Now, it may not be, now don't misunderstand me. I know the work may not be as important to you as what happens when you work. So what happens when you work? You get paid. And so because getting paid is important for living, to pay the rent and to pay the mortgage and to buy cars and to buy the fuel to get to work and to buy food, we have to do those things. And so we take the time to go to work. Because without that, we have to spread this time out. So we have work. What else might be important to us? If work is important to us, what else might be important to us? Somebody help me here. We're going to do play. Who likes to play? Brother Terry, I know you like to play. You don't get to play very much, but I know you like to play. Used to. Don't have as much time to play anymore, do you? No. But we like to play, and we make time to play. We take that time that is required of playing. Now, somebody else may think what I play is silly or ridiculous. Somebody else may think that it's a good way to spend time. It just depends. But we take time to play. What else may we take time for? School. I don't do that anymore. No school for me, but you take time for school. School is like your work. Yeah, so we'll put that in the same category there. School and work, kind of the same thing for all of us and that type of thing there. But what else might we take time for? Y'all are getting into this. I was expecting one at a time, not 17. I didn't hear. Somebody said something over here. Family. All right, family. Take time for family. If family is important, we take time for family. What else? Sleep. Can we put sleep into the self category for a moment? We take time for ourselves, don't we? We do. We take time for ourselves. Now, again, you may not take as much time for yourself as you want to take or would like to take, but we take time for ourselves. You get up in the morning, you take a shower. Now, that's for yourself and for others. But we take time for that. Some of you take a lot of time for that. I told, don't point, that's just mean. sorry, not everybody saw that. I'm sorry, I'm losing it here. This is the last time we do class participation. But we take time for ourselves. You know, I can be ready in 15, 20 minutes. That's showered, shaved, dressed, everything. Ready to go, and occasionally ironing clothes in between all of that. 15, 20 minutes. Rachel, 15, 20 minutes, you may as well give up. Why are you flashing? Flashing hands at me. Richie, Don's saying you take a long time to get ready. Is that true? He's not going to leave me alone until I say something, so... But we take time for ourselves. We take time for it. And we put time into it. What else? Are we missing anything? We take time for work. We take time to play. We take time for ourselves. Anything else that might have some importance in our lives? Eating would come under our self category. We feed ourselves. We play. We do all of those things, but we must take time, really, for the Lord. Now, look, I'm not saying any of those other things. I'm not saying you don't need to take time for yourself. I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm not saying don't take time for your family. But we've been called to be stewards of something. And what we've been called to be stewards of is going to require... and is going to take some time. He says in verse number 15, it's the third time in this passage that he talks about walking. But the first thing, before we go to verse 15, I forgot verse 14. He says in verse number 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Now thankfully, nobody's asleep so far. I was hoping that somebody might be nodding off so I could say and use this illustration, awake thou that sleepest. But nobody's sleeping, so just wake up. But that's what we do. We say, wake up, don't we? I when I was in high school, I was a heavy sleeper. My dad used to come in, and honestly, I know how my children feel because I know, I can see, look, Chloe's face right now. I annoy her when I wake her up. My dad annoyed me when he woke me up. That's how I know I annoy her. But I can go in and sometimes, and really Chloe, she's a lighter sleeper, but Abigail, she's a heavy sleeper. Sometimes you gotta say, wake up! And she still doesn't move. Eventually she'll say, I'm up. Why? Because Dad is annoying. We don't like to be woken up sometimes. Sometimes she'll respond with, Dad, I set my alarm. She does, yeah. Sometimes I'm too afraid to go in there and I'll send the boys in. Hey, go wake your sister up. I'm awake. That's the response. What are we saying to God? He's saying, awake thou that sleepest. I love the next phrase, arise from the dead. That's a sleeping teenager. They sleep like, am I right? They sleep like the dead. It says, and Christ shall give thee light. And when you get up, in verse number 15, which is where we're picking up here, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What he's saying there is, well, as you walk, pay attention to your surroundings. Now, what is this walk that we're referring to here in chapter 5? Again, this is our daily Christian life. And he's saying, as we walk through this life, we need to be alert, we need to be awake, and we need to be paying attention to our surroundings. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Then he says in verse number 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How much time do you have left? I've got about 28 minutes left, because I got up here early. How much time do you have left? The fact of the matter is, we don't know. I could die tonight in my sleep. And so could you. How are we going to redeem this time? Redeeming means to buy back. And this is not a trick here in this passage. I mean, because one of the things I've learned is I can't make time. And I certainly can't buy it back, can I? No, but I can make the most of the time that I have right now. And I can do that, I can help that by scheduling something to say, hey, you know what, in my daily life, how am I going to steward my time? It's going to cost my time. It's going to cost my time to do work. It's going to cost time. But how about this? One of the things that we're talking about in this walk with God, in our walk with God, can we not redeem the time while we're working? Now we say amen, and we say praise the Lord, and we say sometimes hallelujah, and we say those types of things. But are you sometimes maybe a little shy about saying that at work? Wouldn't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. It's time to wake up and realize that people are going to die and go to hell unless someone tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. And so it is possible that we can help redeem the time. You say, well, no, my work is my work time. I have my Bible time, and that's my Bible time. I have my church time, that's my church time. But my work time's my work time. I couldn't ever consider mentioning Jesus during work time. How are we going to redeem this time? Family time, that's just for play time. Listen, you never talk about Jesus with your family. It's family time. No Jesus allowed. You won't hear that in many pulpits these days. Don't tell your family about Jesus because that's family time. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? I think it is kind of ridiculous, but isn't that how we live sometimes? Oh, we can't talk about Jesus. It's not what Deuteronomy said. So when you wake up in the morning, talk about him. You go through the day, point things out about him. When you lay down at night, talk about him. Family time can include Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. What about yourself time? Well, I could never take time by myself. I mean, what do you do when you're by yourself? When you're driving by yourself, do you ever just take time to include Jesus? You say, well, I listen to the news, I listen to the radio, I'm driving to work, I'm yelling at people because they won't drive fast enough. I speed around them because they're not driving fast enough. Have we ever thought about letting Jesus ride with us? We might drive a little differently if we did. I'm talking about redeeming the time. I'm talking about as we're doing our activities and we're by ourselves. Can I just fill you in on something? Just if you don't know this, you're not really by yourself. I mean, you would think it really strange, wouldn't you? Now check this out. If you got in my car, Scott and I took a trip to Tuscaloosa this week on Thursday. Scott, would you thought it strange if we got in the car together and for that 7 hours that we were in there, we never spoke? I mean, the only time we didn't speak is when he was asleep. And he didn't sleep much, but just a little bit. But I was on the phone, so he took a nap. But could you imagine getting in the car and not just not speaking, but acting like he's not even there? Would you have enjoyed that trip? Maybe a little better? Not even better. It'd been weird, wouldn't it? You'd been like, man, what'd he invite me for? And I'm talking not even acting like he's there. I'm talking about, you know, taking my water bottle and just tossing it on his lap. Take my jacket off and he's not even there. You say, no one would do that. Yet we do it to Jesus every day. We walk through our life as if he's not even there. We get in the car. We never even ask him, hey, what would you like to listen to? Have you ever considered maybe some of the things you turn on he doesn't want to listen to? No. It might cost you something. As a matter of fact, it might cost you something. It will cost you something. To be a faithful steward is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, number one, your time. Every time I think about serving the Lord and what it's going to cost us, the price of it, I always think of Exodus chapter 4. Look back there with me if you would. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to skip a thought here. I'll fill you in just real quickly. Ecclesiastes, as you're turning to Exodus, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us, to everything there is a time. There is a time for everything. You can check it out on your own, though, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But we're going to Exodus chapter 4 because not only is the price of stewardship going to cost your time, it's also going to cost your talent. Every time I think about this, I think of Exodus chapter 4, because God is talking to Moses, and Moses is answering back to God, and he says, behold, This is Moses speaking. He says, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. For the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, Furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of thy first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. We'll stop there just for a moment. It's going to cost your talent. What is that in thine hand? Everyone in this room has a talent. Everyone. Some of them may be undeveloped talents. But everyone in this room has a talent that God has given them that you can use for Him. Some have the ability to sing. You should sing for Him. Some have the ability to drive a car. You could drive for Him. All of us, check this, all of us have a mouth. We can speak for Him. We all have something that we can give. Something that we can do. And it's going to cost a talent. It's going to say, what can I do for God? What can I do? This same meeting that Scott and I went to on Thursday night, when we got there, the service had, they were in a meeting, and then we began the service, and we'd moved up a little closer to the front, sitting on this side, and the song leader got up, and the song leader, he was a tad bit aged. As a matter of fact, he was really aged. After the first service, he led the music, and he did the best that he could do, and after the service, we went to dinner, and after dinner, I was able to talk with him for a little bit, and he had asked me where I was from. We talked, and he said he had been a missionary, and so I'd asked him where he served at, and he named off about 9 countries that he had served, different places, and we talked a little bit more about the Word, and then I asked him, I said, sir, do you mind if I ask how young you are? And he said, no, I don't mind at all. I'm 95. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm 95 years old. He said, I got saved when I was in his 20s, just after the war, when he got out. He said he got saved and began serving the Lord, became a missionary. He said, and I just do what I can. I'll tell you what, in the second service, after talking to him, I enjoyed it a whole lot more. I got the story. I got the background. I understood. You know what? He's just serving the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You can do something. Moses, what's in your hand? It's a rod. I mean, really? A rod? Yeah. It's a rod. You know, I have a handkerchief at my in my hand. What can I do with a handkerchief? I can't do much, but I can do something. I mean, what if Cherry was crying right now? I could give her my handkerchief. She wouldn't want it. What if your nose was bleeding? Would you take it? Maybe. I mean, really, really bleeding. A gusher. Yeah, but you wouldn't want to use that. That's a nice sleeve. But it's in my hand. I can use a handkerchief. Brother Terry would take it. He would. He's a fisherman. He's used to that stuff. But I can use it. Hey, hold on. It's in my hand. It's a phone. I can use it. I can play games. I can play a game right now. I won't. But I could use it. You know, I could use this. I could use this to call somebody. Hey, sure did miss you at church today. And not in a guilty kind of way, but in a sincere, we missed you at church today. I could send a text message. An encouraging one, not a mean one. There's so many things I could do with this, and it's in my hand. I could what? What's in your hand? What is it that you can use for God? Maybe it's a musical instrument. Maybe it's a pen. Can you write for the Lord? What can you use? What can you use to brighten someone's day? You see, if this stewardship, if we're going to be faithful in this, yes, it's a privilege, but with this privilege comes a price. And the price is going to cost our time. It's going to cost our talent. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, right at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 21. Or go back to verse number 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Notice the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We talk about our treasures. What do you treasure today? You know, it's amazing. We talk about tithing and giving and money. And we can go back to the Old Testament. We can say the Bible requires a tenth of all thine increase, a tenth. But you know, when the New Testament, you come there, it doesn't talk about a tenth. It just doesn't. But it does talk about all of it. My grandfather used to say, he said it like this, and he was just an old, good old boy from Kentucky. He'd said, "Son, when the Lord has your heart, he's got your pocketbook." I didn't really understood what that meant when I was a kid, but I heard him say it several times. The New Testament says all. Part of good, faithful stewardship is going to be financial. But it doesn't have to be financial in the sense of, you say everything? Well, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself here. The price of good stewardship, of faithful stewardship, it's going to cost your treasures. And I'm not talking about just filling the church's coffers or anything like that. But we're talking about good stewardship. You see, everything that I have is God's. And so it's not just about what am I doing with 10% of it. Don't miss this. I'm not even talking about that. What am I doing with 10%? No. What am I doing with all of it? I'm going to give an account for everything I do. Not just for 10% of what I do. Not just for 15% or 20%. I'm going to give an account for 100% of what I do and how we spend money we're going to give an account for. Say, so Pastor, you're saying everything that I spend money on has to be used and should go for God? I'm saying, yeah, we ought to consider God in everything we spend money on. I guess I am. But instead, I guess we can just continue to go through this daily Christian life, and when it comes to the things for myself, I can just continue to ignore Him. I mean, you know, even a somewhat considerate person is going to ask, where do you want to eat? It's considerate. So don't we consider the Lord here? Where we should eat, where we should sleep, what we should do, how we should do it. What about our treasures? It might cost something that we want. Oh, now we're going to talk wants and desires. But Pastor, I really want that. Does God want me to want that? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You see, the price of stewardship. God has called us to be His stewards. Everything we have is His. He cares for us. He commands us to be faithful. In being faithful, it's going to cost our time. It's going to cost our talent. It's going to cost our treasures. Every head bowed, every eye closed.